104.5 The Zone's non-stop sports talk continues with a look at Nashville's teams and at news around the nation from the lead writer of 104.5thezone.com. This is
The Big Six.
The Big Six with Jason Martin, presented by Renter's Warehouse.
And here we go.
Straight up, 6 o'clock by my watch. Means it's time for the one and only Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday. Sun is out, almost two out right now. Blinding on the highways on my drive in. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. The telephone number is 615-737-1045. Ryan Albanese behind the glass, spinning the dials radio style for me this evening. And as usual, a reminder to me, from me, that I'm blessed beyond measure, all reasonable and otherwise. And then I reflect that back to you and say, I hope that you recognize the same is true in your life. And I hope that it's going well out there for you as March is in full swing. Obviously, some people doing better than others. That's always going to be the case, but maybe more pronounced right now as a result of last week. But we have seen a lot of unity, and we've seen a lot of positives that have come from an extreme negative. But I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. DM's always wide open for a faith-based conversation. You can always hit me up with anything that's on your heart. So, Belmont's put out a statement. Vanderbilt has put out a statement. Let me just read this statement, actually. The Belmont statement came out about an hour ago and said, in light of Belmont University's announcement, course of action regarding coronavirus, this is Belmont University Athletics. All athletic activities, practices, and competitions remain on as scheduled. Student athletes, coaches, and staff are encouraged to stay updated. Additional information provided at the coronavirus website at belmont.edu. Belmont has canceled its March 15th Selection Sunday public celebration for men's basketball. Athletics remains in correspondence with university leaders, the OVC, and the NCAA. So what's the latest on the coronavirus relative to sports? Well, the Ivy League is just going to send the Yale men and the Princeton women to the NCAA tournament. They have canceled their conference tournament because of the virus. Vanderbilt has canceled classes this week. And we'll see whether or not they're back on next week. And Vanderbilt, in terms of athletics, here are some of the bullet points from them. Eliminating in-game promotions, eliminating giveaways to decrease hand-to-hand contact. Increasing the frequency of cleaning commonly touched surfaces. Encouraging attendees, staff, and participants who seem ill to go home or seek emergency care. By the way, that should be happening all the time. If you're sick, like legitimately sick, probably don't come to work. I know that that's supposed to be like a badge of honor. It's the old joke about when you talk to your grandparents, you find out that they walked uphill both ways to school and things of that nature. Don't be tough. Just stay home if you have something you think could cause problems. Urging fans to utilize practices such as, quote, social distancing, unquote. That sounds problematic just on the face. Just the phraseology kind of worries me. Continuing the practice of live in-game video and audio coverage in addition to social media coverage for fans to follow events remotely. They are expecting a lot of people are going to stop coming. And so they want to make sure that you can still figure out what's going on. Limiting non-essential person-to-person interactions. They're going to cease selling concessions. Fans are permitted to bring unopened bottled water into any athletic facility. What that means is you're not bringing in your reusable stuff, which has always kind of felt, yeah, you know. Even though, you know, I took a vacation with my wife a few weeks ago for Valentine's down in Florida, and I took a Nalgene down there, and we carried that through the park for 3 days. Now, we're pretty clean, and she's definitely a little bit stronger against germs than me, but that's sort of kind of waking me up to those problems a little bit more maybe than I used to pay attention to them. But, you know, you think about like Starbucks and stuff with their reusable cups, which are now banned. in their stores. And that always worried me because, yeah, I would always wash mine out if I was ever going to do that. I think I only did it maybe two or three times. But there's probably a lot of people that just, they drink that drink and then they leave that cup in the car and then they just take it back inside. Like, that's rather unsanitary just on the face of it. But no concessions for Vanderbilt. No in-game promotions that require personal contact. All this about the coronavirus. And then there's this piece of news, which you don't say. Remember how I finished yesterday's show if you listened to the program? If you didn't, let me get a quick plug in for the Big Six with Jason Martin podcast, which you can subscribe to through your podcast catcher of choice. Consume this show however you want, whenever you want, 24/7, 365. Go back and relive some of the better moments, whichever ones you deem to be better, at least. Hopefully you deem some of them to be, quote, good enough or better. But this is what LeBron James said on Friday, right after they beat the Bucks. We play games without the fans? Nah, that's impossible. I ain't playing if I ain't got the fans in the crowd. That's who I play for. I play for my teammates and I play for the fans. That's what it's all about. So if I show up to an arena and there ain't no fans in there, I ain't playing. They can do what they want to do. I said yesterday this was D-U-M dumb because it wasn't well thought out and it forgot maybe the most important point, which is, yeah, you play for the fans. You play for the millions that watch you on TV, or you should, more than the 16 or 17,000 maybe, or whatever it is, depending on the venue and the building, that come see you live. Yeah, it's not like they don't matter, but there are millions of people watching you on national television. You're going to say, you're just screw them. If you can't actually come and sit in a seat, if we dare to have to play in an empty gymnasium, I'm not doing that because I play for the fans. I play for the fans that come to the games, not the ones that watch the games. I also told you yesterday that it was bogus, that this was LeBron trying to use a little bit of leverage and a little bit of power and not thinking before he spoke. He is the most powerful person in the NBA, bar none. But what he said here just lacked any semblance of just stopping long enough to think about this. But I told you it was bogus because if they indeed decided to start playing in empty gymnasiums, empty arenas, LeBron James would play because he's not that big. So, what did LeBron James say this afternoon? You'll never guess. He's changed his tune. And not only has he changed his tune, listen to how he puts it. Quote, it's funny because when I was asked the question of would you play with no fans, I had no idea that it was actually a conversation going on behind closed doors about the particular virus. There's more. I'm going to get to it, but I've got to stop right there. I'm just going to reread that. It's funny because when I was asked the question of would you play with no fans, I had no idea that it was actually a conversation going on behind closed doors about the particular virus. What? That does not pass the smell test. Why else are they asking you that question on Friday night, King? I knew why they were asking you that on Friday night. All my listeners right now, everybody listening to 104.5 The Zone right now knows why they posited that question to you on Friday night. I did a show a handful of months back where I said there are just moments in life where you just got to take the L. You got to take the loss, ask for that mea culpa, ask for forgiveness, and say, you know what, boneheaded play on me, I got that one wrong. And I said, you know, I was wrong for a while about Lamar Jackson. And I was wrong about Ed Orgeron. And there are always things that we believe are going to be true that turn out not to be. But the key is that you can't hold on to your pride and your ego so long that you die on the wrong hill. Like, eventually you just got to say, hey, man, my bad. If you, I mean, that really is kind of us, right? We were born to give and serve. We were also born to forgive and be forgiven. am I going to lose respect for LeBron if he just comes out and tells me, you know, that was a little bit unintelligent on my part? I should have thought that one through a little bit better. I didn't know all of the facts. My fault. Of course not. I'm not going to kill him for saying that. Who would? It felt like a knee-jerk reaction, but not a particularly smart one, from a guy that can be very smart. Again, he says, it's funny because when I was asked the question of would you play with no fans, I had no idea that it was actually a conversation going on behind closed doors about the particular virus. Then he goes on, obviously, I would be very disappointed not having the fans because that's what I play for, my family and my fans. But you got to listen to the people that's keeping track of what's going on. And if they feel like it's best for the safety of the players, safety of the franchise, safety of the league to mandate that, then we all listen to it. That's what he said behind a podium today. Did you happen to hear me mention basically he should have said that at the end of my show last night? CBS and a couple of other websites had said this is all LeBron had to say, and it wasn't verbatim, but it was basically the same thing I said last night, and it was the same thing he said today. I also mentioned last night, I thought he probably has thought since this, yeah, that probably wasn't the best answer. I probably got that one wrong. But instead of just walking it back, he very, very carefully walks it back, but still tries to excuse it by saying he didn't know that there was a conversation going on about this virus. Why in the world are they asking you a question about playing in front of an empty arena if not for something that happens to be relevant currently? This is not just a hypothetical you asked 2 years ago when there's not some virus going around, when there's not something that's, I don't know, leading to one of the largest drops in the history of Wall Street yesterday. I guess LeBron's not in any grocery stores because he hasn't seen any of those the Purell sanitizer signs, which I've seen everywhere I've gone. He hasn't tried to buy toilet paper. All these things are disappearing. But this is all people are talking about. And he says, I had no idea we were actually talking about an actual virus that's going on. Then what is he doing then? I mean, maybe he's just chilling on Netflix, but he often comments on things that are happening in the world, things that are happening in the country. And he's certainly just fine. I mean, look, if he has an opinion that he wants to share, it's a free country for him to do so. But you got to be educated on what you're talking about. But I don't buy this. I try not to be a skeptic, but when you say we play games without the fans, that's impossible. I ain't playing if I ain't got the fans in the crowd. If that were true, if he didn't know there was a conversation going on about the virus, then why in the world would he not have responded, not with what I quoted just a second ago, but instead saying, why are you asking me that question? That's preposterous. Nothing's happening. Except that it was, and it is. I mean, he talks about how big a soccer fan he is, EPL and everything else. Well, that's a story. That's actually going on. And that's a thing that you would think he would know is going on. We are always in such a rush. And by we, in this case, you can mean the media, you can mean yourself, you can mean any organization, you can mean anybody. We all want to be first. We all want to have some novelty in our opinion in this business. So sometimes we don't read enough articles, and we sit here and we bloviate and we spout out a bunch of stuff that's half rear end, basically. LeBron didn't need to be first on this one. LeBron just needed to say, either he needed to say, why are you asking me this question? Or he needed to say, I would hate to play without the fans. I love the atmosphere and everything that they bring, the enthusiasm. It drives us, all this kind of stuff. But if we got to protect them and protect ourselves, then, you know, we're going to have to we're going to have to make sure we do what's right for the community. But he didn't say that. Now he's saying it, but he's caveating it with, I had no idea that we were actually talking about a specific virus. LeBron, what color is the sky in your world? Martin in Nashville up first here on the program. Martin, what's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy? But don't you think the media, you listen to Joaquin Phoenix and his speech about environment and then how his lifestyle is, and you think people, celebrities, when media, you almost wish they wouldn't ask them questions but just stick to basketball? Because when you ask them something, it's almost, I don't know, you just, there's like an ignorance that they have, and they don't live in the real world, you know? And it's almost like just stick to basketball. And if I was in the media, I know they're trying to get stories, but like you said, you should just comment, basically saying, like, I would hate to play without the fans. Because you look at Italy, it's closed on soccer league,
yes.
Juventus, Ronaldo. I mean, and it just seems like it just seems selfish and just kind of ignorant on the subject. But I'll listen to you.
All right, Martin, I appreciate it. Be careful using the word ignorance right there. I mean, I don't think that it's ignorance. I think that it wasn't well thought out. And yeah, I don't really care what Leonardo DiCaprio has to say about climate change. And I don't care about what Busy Phillips has to say about abortion or whatever. Like, whatever the issue is, it's not relevant to me. LeBron James, though, like you said, you know, stick to basketball with the questions. I mean, I disagree to an extent. There's a lot of times when they volunteer information that I just don't care about. But it also doesn't affect my life for LeBron James to say something I disagree with. Great thing about this country is we stand up for the speech that we despise, not the speech we love. It takes absolutely no guts, no balls, honestly, to stand up for speech you agree with. The test, the litmus test for whether or not you truly believe in free speech the way it's intended is if you will defend the right for people to say something that feels almost repugnant to you or that you vehemently disagree with. So LeBron can say what he wants, and I'll defend his right to do so. I'm going to call him out when I disagree with him, just like hopefully he would if he disagreed with me, if he knew that I existed, which of course he does not. But LeBron James was asked about basketball here. So on the face of it, that comment is not quite right. In this case, he was asked about playing basketball games in empty arenas. So he was being asked a question that you would want LeBron James's take on. This wasn't a journalist trying to lure him into one side or the other. This is the most powerful athlete in the sport, maybe in the country, in any sport. Let's get his take on how he feels about playing this sport that he dominates in empty buildings. It's not wrong in that case to go to that degree. It just wasn't the answer. This ain't the 30-second rule on Twitter where you write something out and then you wait 30 seconds before you actually put that thing out there to make sure that's something you actually want out there because you can't take it back. This is just LeBron saying something not smart and then realizing it. And then today saying, yeah, you know what? That wasn't smart. But instead of saying that, he says, obviously I'd be disappointed. But it's funny because when I was asked the question of would you play with no fans, I had no idea it was actually a conversation going on behind closed doors about this particular virus. Bull. We'll be right back. Big 6, 104.5 The Zone.
Zone.
Welcome back to the program. It's called the Big 6. They call me Jason Martin or J Mart, whatever you want. At J Mart Zones, where you find me. If you're on Twitter, if you're not, congratulations. And I'm not saying that ironically or facetiously. I'm literally saying congratulations. Good for you. 615-737-1045 is how you reach this program. Right before the break, I think Larry called us in. Let's go ahead and get to Larry so he didn't have to wait any longer. Larry, I appreciate you waiting. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good.
Yes, I want to comment about the LeBron thing. Just by him ending the comment by saying they do what they want to do, do you think he really was thinking he was answering the question about, you know, how us as fans was complaining about how we go to games, pay our money to games, and for players to sit out, and we're not able to see them, and we pay our money to see them?
That's an interesting question. I think they can do what they want to do. The way I read it was, yeah, the NBA cannot play in front of buildings. I'm not playing in front of empty buildings. But you could maybe take it that way. I just think LeBron probably realized, maybe his wife told him, or somebody close to him was like, hey, so here's what's going on here. And if you want to know, you know, the latest and what continues to happen, Coachella has been moved to October. South by Southwest and the Ultra Music Festival have announced today, even though they've canceled, they are not giving refunds. And apparently it is in the fine print that there aren't refunds due to things like this. I can't even imagine how angry I would be if I had tickets to South by Southwest and they cancel the thing, but I don't get my money back. Like, whoo, that's a bold play right there. And how about this? Just over the last few minutes from the Democratic National Committee, at the request of both campaigns and out of an abundance of caution, there will be no live audience at the Arizona debate taking place Sunday, March 15th. The DNC has been in regular communication with local health officials and the mayor's office, which advised that we could proceed as planned. Nevertheless, our number one priority has and will continue to be the safety of our staff, campaigns, Arizonans, and all those involved in the debate. There you go. So it's going to be Bernie and Joe and whoever the moderator is, and that's it. Stagecoach has already been moved. The Stagecoach Festival, not quite the same as Coachella, but another thing there. There are a lot of things still being canceled, and Italy's basically on lockdown at this point in time. One thing I do want to point out, because we had a couple of people call about this yesterday. Hey, man, the flu kills 60,000 a year and, you know, all this. That's true. The New York Times did make a pretty good point here. Quote, yes, the flu is terrible. That's exactly why scientists don't want another contagious respiratory disease to take root. If they could stop the seasonal flu, they would. But there may yet be a chance to stop the coronavirus. In many ways, the flu is the best argument for throwing everything at the coronavirus. It seems crazy, some of the things that we're seeing. And a lot of it might be optics, and a lot of it might be an overreaction. It's all done in an abundance of caution. That's a phrase that creates some level of deniability. If it turns out that this is not as cracked up to be. But I get it. It seems like a lot. We'll say that. And the one league, again, that I say really needs to watch themselves is the XFL, because you're going to maybe go to the NCAA tournament still, because it's the NCAA tournament. It's a big dance. You're going to find your way to that thing, but you're probably not going to the XFL game you have tickets to right now if you have any level of trepidation or fear about what could be happening with the human coronavirus. But LeBron has come around to the right answer here, which is, man, I'd hate to play without the fans, but we got to listen to the people that know what they're talking about, or the people that are advising us about how to be safe and how to make sure that our fans are safe and in the best positions. That's the right thing. I just wish he hadn't caveated it with the, I had no idea that there was a discussion happening behind closed doors about a particular virus. That one doesn't pass the smell test. That is, I called it bull before the break. That is dishonest. There's no way he's that out of the loop. There's no way he would not have responded. Like, why would that question be asked if there wasn't a reason for it to be asked? That was not his finest hour. I know we've got a caller on the line, but I think the connection might be struggling. We're going to try to work to improve that before we go any further. Again, Vanderbilt not having concessions right now. Classes are canceled this week. Belmont is going to keep going with as much as they can, but they're taking some precautions as well. I do think we are in wait-and-see mode. There are some conspiracy theorists out there who believe this is political on both sides. Because, of course, there are. I told you yesterday, my personal opinion is somewhere in the middle is where we're going to land here. Hopefully closer to the bottom as opposed to the top. If the top is the extreme projection in the bad way, I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, but it's probably going to be there for a while. We're still a few months away from any kind of a vaccine even really being tested. So really what you're getting right now is care from physicians and folks like that that are just kind of keeping an eye on you, monitoring you, doing what they can. But there's not really a cure per se. So there is a panic almost in some people's minds. If you look at some of the stores and the way people are behaving in those stores, yeah, a little bit of a panic. I'm not quite to that degree. I am concerned and watching closely. I'm not an atheist on this. I'm not a true believer on this. But I'm not going to be foolish enough to take one stance or the other because I don't know yet. Very few people that are talking about this have any clue what they are talking about. LeBron James being an example of one of them. Even though now he has the right answer. He did not have it on Friday. And then the way in which he tried to explain it, like I said months back, sometimes you just got to take that L. America will forgive, I promise. We're built to do it. Few people might call you a knucklehead first, but they're also going to forgive you. Just a lesson for life. 615-737-1045. Back in a moment. Big 6, 1045, The Zone.
Zone.
Welcome back to the Big 6 here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. 615-737-1045. Good tweet from Alex Kirshner. I believe he's of the Banner Society. Let me double check that. Just to be yes. Banner Society, which is Stephen Godfrey and Spencer Hall and those guys who do an awesome job. He writes, I'm sure there's a good public health reason that small conferences are closing off and canceling their tournaments while the Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12, etc. tell people to come on in. Yeah, very good point. UCLA has become the latest, at least that I've seen in the last few minutes, to cancel classes for the remainder of the week and do everything online, those that can at least. Let us take a look at Brady Watch 2020. No one knows. Everyone claims to know. Mark Schlereth said yesterday, 80% chance he's out. Now you see that he's opened up a production company in Los Angeles. They've got a house out there. When you think about Giselle and what she does for a living, the celebrities, the contacts, all of that. Look, LeBron went to L.A., I don't think, nearly as much to play basketball as for everything else. Could Tom Brady be following in those footsteps? If so, that would indicate he's about to become a Los Angeles Charger. And now, it appears that some others are picking up that trail. But we're still in this point where literally everything that comes out of anyone's mouth surrounding Tom Brady becomes instant news. My favorite is last week when, according to a source, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had their first conversation on the phone and it, quote, didn't go well, unquote. One, I don't know who the source is. Two, I don't know whether or not that's accurate because both of them could be leveraging the other. Also, if you've ever paid attention to Bill Belichick, like at all, this is how he handles every free agent. Now, if there is someone that you would maybe want to handle a little differently, it would be Tom Brady, but that's just not how Bill Belichick rolls. I'm still where I was, and I will, just like I told LeBron and others to do in the first segment, just as I did already about Lamar Jackson and Coach O, I will take the L if I'm wrong, but Tom Brady ain't going anywhere. I just don't see it. But maybe it's just because I can't visualize it, and then it all of a sudden happens, and then we have to look at things from a different landscape. I believe Tennessee would give him his best opportunity with all the familiarity and with the pieces in place, but the Chargers do have a lot of pieces. Problem for them is they're the Chargers. And then the San Francisco story is just mind-boggling on a number of different levels. But it also, I could just sit here and say, I told you so, because the fact that the San Francisco 49ers organization did not come out, scream from the mountaintops that this wasn't true, tells you all you need to know about Jimmy Garoppolo. If he comes to Tennessee, it's a two-year arrangement for Tom Brady, I would say. I think that's about all he's got left in the tank in terms of how long he's going to play. If he goes to San Francisco, I still think it's 2 years. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be playing a lot longer than 2 years, but they're willing to get rid of this guy who just was the quarterback in the Super Bowl to bring in somebody who's near his mid-40s that's going to enter. So either that tells you they think their window ain't going to be there for very long, or the quarterback was part of the issue, and they got to the Super Bowl in spite of Jimmy G, not because of Jimmy G. Which, if you go back to the archive or listen to the podcast, you will hear me say no short of 90 or 100,000 times during the course of this past NFL season. The common refrain on the Big Six was somewhere between 15 and 20 in the league is where I would put Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. I don't think he's that great. I don't think he's a disaster either. But the reason that San Francisco didn't win the Super Bowl is because Patrick Mahomes played on one team and Jimmy Garoppolo played on the other. It came down to two third down passes, one to Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes, boom, 40-some yards on a third down. Then Jimmy Garoppolo, perfect read. It was Emmanuel Sanders. He had broken free between the hash marks. He catches that thing. It's a touchdown. And he missed him by 3 yards. If you get that and you score, I think there's a good chance San Francisco wins that Super Bowl. But one guy made the play when he had to in the pressure moment. The other one didn't. One guy made plays. The other one completed all of two passes in the last 15-plus minutes of that football game, that being Jimmy Garoppolo. So when I look at Brady watch and the fact that this was real on both sides, that tells you, if anything, that San Francisco certainly is going to listen because they're not sold on what they've got. And it would make sense because there's a lot of fuel behind the idea that Belichick hated to lose Jimmy Garoppolo a couple of years ago and thinks he could come back in and be the quarterback for the next 8 to 10 years. I don't know if I agree with him, but Belichick might be betting on that. But the bigger thing about Brady is just he's never gotten to play suitor before. He's never gotten to be the contestant on the dating game before, the NFL version of the dating game. He's never gotten to be a free agent. He even said this after the source reported how badly that phone call went. A few days later, Brady came out and he said, you know, I've never gotten to do this before. I've never been put into position for this before. Exactly. And he wants to go through it. And you know what? If anybody's earned the right to go through it, Tom Brady definitely has earned the right to go through it. I see Ian Rappaport just a little while ago saying that even though the Brady speculation is still out there, the Titans are focused on getting something done with Ryan Tannehill. Some of you, that probably pleases a lot more than others of you. I continue to say 3 years is where you probably don't want to be in the Ryan Tannehill business anymore, and probably where you don't want to be in the Tom Brady business either. You're still going to be looking for the real future of the franchise over the next 2 seasons. Just a personal opinion, but that's what I'm paid to give on this program. 615-737-1045. Got a couple of TV notes for you when we come back. One sports related, one not. Stick with us. Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. Final segment of the Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Jason Martin on Twitter at JMartZone. Still time to get in if you'd like at 615-737-1045. My last 10 minutes of the week. Hope you enjoy the hoops. SEC tournament coverage over the next handful of days during this time. So I will talk to you on Monday. That'll be the next time. A little bit more on Tom Brady here. Diana Rossini was on Get Up this morning, and she was saying, one thing she said was Brady has interest with the Titans. The Titans thought about it, but they want to go with Ryan Tannehill, which is also kind of what I mentioned when I was talking about what Ian Rappaport tweeted out just a couple of minutes ago. She also, quote, made news, unquote, if you read Twitter, by saying that Tom Brady has more interest in teams than teams do in Tom Brady. That he would like to play for a lot of teams that maybe don't want him there. And I think she's saying the Patriots are the team that's going to end up with him, which so do I, but it's not because of a lack of interest necessarily. If you don't like that, then you can reflect back to a report in 2018 from the very same Diana Rossini of ESPN, who suggested that after the Super Bowl, both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick could retire. Which, you know what? That's not an erroneous statement. They could retire. After this program, I could never do radio again. It is a possibility that I could retire from 104.5 The Zone and Fox and whatever else it is that might be in the offing for me. It is possible. It is a doable. It's not a lie. It's not a misrepresentation, but it is also not exactly news. Sometimes you read headlines, it's just like, what? Why was this actually reported? Like 538 put up a tweet just a few minutes ago suggesting that it would be smart for you to wash your hands more often. Was that something that really needed to be said? Have we not heard that over the last week or two other than LeBron James? Like, I have heard it. I don't know if LeBron's heard it, but I have heard it. But Diana Rossini did what ESPN loves the most, which is create news out of their own personnel, and then they can get everyone all day long to comment on the news that was created by the ESPN personality. See how that works? It's pretty effective, actually. I still am where I was. I think Brady stays with the Patriots because I think they want him. And I believe ultimately they're going to figure out, yeah, let's run this thing back. Let's get a couple more pieces this time around, but let's run this thing back. We're better together than we are apart. And if he goes anywhere, who knows where he's going to go. Now Tampa Bay is involved. Diana Rossini did mention that. I don't think he's going to Tampa Bay. I think if he's going anywhere, he would probably come here. Maybe he would go to LA because it is the LeBron effect of it's not about basketball, it's about everything else. But for Tom Brady, it's always been about one thing. It's been about the game. It hasn't been about everything else. Maybe he is thinking differently, but that's not what every report about him that came out said about him. But ESPN does truly adore its own personalities creating news that they can then spend segment after segment discussing on every other show during that day part. It's fantastic. Stephen A. says something at 9 a.m. on TV, and then from, well, obviously they talk about it repeatedly on that show, then after it, SportsCenter hits it, and then Highly Questionable hits it, High Noon hits it, Around the Horn hits it, and PTI hits it, and all of a sudden it's a big news item, even though it was just some opinion that was spouted out. And sometimes it's, yeah, you know, I've talked to some people who say, who have you talked to? Who exactly have you talked to? And what is the accountability if it turns out that what you said isn't true? Because if it's not, if there's no accountability for it, if you're not called upon it, if you turn out not to be right, or if your source turns out to be Casper the Friendly Ghost, then why wouldn't you just make a bunch of stuff up to create more drama and more compelling debate and discussion to help your television numbers across your network? I'm not suggesting they're doing that. I'm saying if Rossini turns out to be wrong, who's going to kill her for it? Who's going to call her out for it? Nobody. So what's the risk in her saying what she's saying? None. She could even be trying to steer Tom Brady to stay in New England by saying, you know, he's more interested in playing for other teams than they are in him playing for them. And, yeah, the Titans thought about it, but they want to go with Tannehill, which I actually agree. I think they want to go with Tannehill. The franchise tag, even though, you know, that deadline's been extended. You found that out today. Henry and Tannehill, I feel like, are part of their plans. And I don't think they're the wrong part of their plans. If you can get Tom Brady, I think you get Tom Brady. But you realize you've got him for a year, two max. My argument for saying that that's not the biggest problem is I don't think that you've got Tannehill for very much longer than that. Now, if he goes out there and he balls out this year, let's say it is Tannehill on the field this year for the Titans. If he goes out and he balls out, then we can have this discussion. And I know it seems like, well, what have you done for me lately? Look what he just did. I get it. I just want to see him do it for more than 1 year just because I've seen some other things that he's done in his career. I also really like him, and I like the way he played. I liked his attitude. I like the way the team rallied around him. I am certainly willing to be, well, I'm already impressed with what he's done, but I'm certainly willing to be converted to someone that buys into the Tannehill experiment long term. I'm not quite there yet, but I can see that argument. I can definitely see that argument, as a matter of fact. Rocky tweets me, and you can always tweet me at JMartZone. Here's my fearless prediction for the Titans. Tannehill gets the franchise tag. They sign Derrick Henry. They sign a pass rusher. Rounds one and two of the draft, they pick an offensive tackle and a speedy cornerback. All right. Brady Watch 2020. Here's the good news, folks. If you're tired of this, which the numbers and research indicate you are not, across the sports media landscape, it's going to be over in the next couple of weeks. Because free agency is going to open, and we're actually going to get an answer to this question. Tom Brady's not going to drag this thing out for months. Once free agency opens, it's going to be just suffocating. The same level of content, it's going to be absolutely suffocating in that moment. So there's still just a lot going on across the board in the Tom Brady saga. I wanted to talk about the XFL and the ratings dropping now to an average of 800,000 per game. But I don't have time to do it to the degree that I want to do it. So I will tell you this, since I'm off for the rest of the week, Sunday morning on the Jason Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio, which if you're up late, and you can always go to foxsportsradio.com and listen to a podcast of it as well, I'll break that down in much more detail. I just don't have time, but let me give you one quick pop culture recommendation on the way out. I wrote on every episode, so you can find that at the Big Six blog at 1045zone.com/Big Six blog. Starting Westworld this Sunday, I've got the first four episodes now of the new season. I'm going to go ahead and write those reviews one after the other here, hopefully over the next few days while you guys are watching and listening to basketball during this time slot. But if you've got HBO and you just can handle a little bit of horror, but mainly more just suspense, The Outsider was fantastic. I'll take The Outsider over the first season of True Detective any day. Start to finish, thought it was more consistent. Thought it landed the plane better. I can't wait to actually read Stephen King's book. It was very un-Stephen King-like in the best possible ways, but a real gem. One of the better limited series that you will ever see. HBO's on a roll. They had Watchmen, which was outstanding last year, towards the end of the year, and The Outsider is tremendous. Ben Mendelsohn, Cynthia Erivo, Patty Considine, Jason Bateman, everything about this was good. And if you watched The Night Of, which was a pretty popular limited series a few years ago that I also wrote on, Richard Price was the showrunner of that. He's the showrunner of this. He was also associated with The Wire. The Outsider is just tremendously entertaining and a limited series that I'm actually going to go back and watch again because I had so much fun. It's just enjoyment. It's pure entertainment. It just makes all the right decisions. So even in a wealth of content that's out there for you to consume, and Better Call Saul's out there, which I also highly recommend and I'm writing on, there's a lot to potentially take your entertainment eyeball. I'm going to give you the highest recommendation possible for The Outsider. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Also fantastic, Ned Michaels. He's got a couple of hours coming up. He's got Michaels and Mueller. Then he's got Global Golf Radio. So keep it locked right here. I will talk to you on Monday. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. God bless and good night from the Music City.